right, everybody, welcome back to your favorite Bearded Dude podcast.
Hold on, time out. Half bearded dudes, we have a tragedy in the podcast and man world. Lane, I'll let you tell the story, and then maybe we can do a moment of silence before we get going.
I agree. So today I was trimming my beard, as you know, the key to having a beautiful beard is grooming it.
Manscaping.
Manscaping, if you will. Manscaped, sponsor us. I'm trimming it, and I'm doing my thing, and next thing I know, I go a little too low, and basically it looked like I had a raging neck beard. I had a problem. So I went to Kendra and I talked about it. She's like, oh, it's not bad. And I was like, oh, it's bad. So I just shaved it all off. So now I look like I'm 8 years old, probably going to get carded to get alcohol. So if you would, let's take a moment of silence for my beard. Okay. And that's over. So again, thank you guys.
I took a toast for it.
Thank you. One for me and one for my homies. Yeah. Thank you guys again for tuning in. If you guys have not yet, make sure you follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're all over the place and we're posting all the time. We love interaction with you guys. And the quickest way to really get our name out there is through social media. And like Jordan always says, tell a friend. So you guys, if you have not yet, tell somebody about us. Just tell one person. I mean, we talk to at least one person a day. Say, hey, have you heard of these guys? And then send them a link. Easy as that. Boom. Done. Also, if you guys have not yet, make sure you check out the Watershed Voice. Our podcast, part World Greens and Beards podcast, is partnered with the Watershed Voice, which is a community-sponsored journalism, which pretty much covers just about anything to do with St. Joe County, Cass County. They're starting to venture up into Kalamazoo. We're starting to expand a little bit. Politics, poetry, economics, local news, conversations, just basically anything and everything to do with this area. Watershed Voice is your go-to. And with affordable subscription options, I just ask, what are you waiting for? What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's all on you at this point.
Yeah, it's all on you. So with that, also, I'm just going to preview the show a little bit. We're going to cover some Michigan State basketball because Michigan has not played yet due to COVID precautions. We're going to break down the trade of trades for the Detroit Lions. Matt Stafford, if you are not aware, has been traded. So we're going to break that down. Super Bowl Sunday. So we're going to talk a little Super Bowl, kind of some key matchups we want to watch, maybe some keys to victory, who wins, and might even throw a score out there. And then we're just going to close this puppy down this week. So I guess the only, and I didn't say it to you, Jordan, the only slight bit of news we got this week is it announced today.
I'm hoping it's the same thing I was just thinking of.
It's if you're video gamers, sports video gamers,
yeah,
like Jordan and I.
Yeah,
NCAA football is coming back, baby.
Let's go.
Oh, my God. When I saw that, I think I am so pumped, dude. I'm ready to take stinking Wyoming and make them into the mecca of sports. I'm ready.
You know what's awesome, too, is I got my brother's old PlayStation 3 and NCAA 14 out a couple weeks ago, and I've been playing it nonstop, and then all of a sudden this drops. I'm super stoked for that. It's awesome.
The only caveat that I've seen is it's only going to be on the new console.
Which, hey, I mean, they're saying 2 to 3 years before it's truly ready.
And make it a good game. Because you know what? You don't even have to do player likeness. Because anymore, somebody's going to have a roster out there. You just download it. So,
right. Ready. So, the other thing. So, we got to talk about this just for a minute because I'm super jacked. I saw a thing on Twitter about, I mean, Twitter was, it's the only thing in this entire world today that Twitter agreed on.
It's true.
Like, both sides of political parties, both sides of fan bases, everybody was like, hell yeah, NCAA football. So, we found a way to unite America. It's NCAA football. That's the way to do it. The one tweet that I saw about it that was just the most amazing thing ever, anybody that's played had played the most recent games knows that they started to introduce more of the recruiting aspect of the game. Well, I think it was somebody from ESPN that tweeted, if EA really wants to make this game legit, then they'll give you the option to cheat in recruiting, and if you get caught, your username gets banned for a month.
Ooh.
I'm like, that is the most amazing thing ever, and yes, they should do that.
Ooh, I like that.
See who's really willing to gamble with their gaming, because people take their gaming serious. You get busted cheating trying to slip them McDonald's bags down there in Tennessee. No, sir, you gone.
Dude, that's a good idea.
I thought it was awesome. I love the idea, and I don't even care. As long as they bring the game back and the recruiting feature is in there, because like we've talked about on this podcast, I'm a recruiting nut, and even on the video game, it lets me be a GM and recruit the players I want, and it's just awesome. So NCAA football is coming back. Hell yeah.
Beautiful day, man. It is a beautiful February day because NCAA football is back.
Yeah, buddy. So I think we can probably go into our first topic. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think we can roll into that, man.
Okay, so we're just going to jump right into it because it won't be a super long segment. The majority of this pod, I think, will be on the trade. There's some takes to go there. But let's touch on Michigan just quick, briefly. We'll do Michigan, and then we'll do Michigan State a little more. So Michigan is still in a pause due to basically quarantining the entire athletic department for the new variant or whatever. It's supposed, from what I'm reading, it is supposed to be done this coming Sunday.
Okay.
So that would mean that games next week would be good to go again for Michigan's men's and women's teams and then the hockey and everybody else. So Michigan's not scheduled. Well, they're supposed to play this week. They were supposed to play Indiana. They're supposed to play Michigan State. But those are obviously postponed. So their next game is technically the 11th. So next Thursday, we will see. The biggest concern there, obviously, is they're not supposed to even be practicing because you can't get into the facilities or anything. So, you know, basketball's a lot about wind. We'll see what kind of condition this team is in because as it stands right now, every bracketologist has them as a one seed. They've got like a 3-game lead in the conference standings because like, we've seen Iowa losing. We've seen Illinois losing. We've seen Wisconsin losing. I mean, it's kind of what we've talked about, Lane, is the Big Ten is cannibalizing itself.
Mm-hmm.
And Michigan's kind of the benefactor for not playing right now because they're not taking that chance of being cannibalized.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. Well, I hate it. I would much rather them still be playing. And I think these kids would much rather be playing.
Oh, but absolutely.
Big test first game back. They got Illinois. We'll see. Hopefully everything is cleaned up. All the news in the state in general, the numbers are trending in the right direction. It sounds like Washtenaw County, which is where Michigan is trending in the right direction. So there's been no indications that anything should be extended at this point. We all know how this works. It's fly by the seat of your pants. You never really know. So that's the Michigan touch. Let's get into Michigan State for a minute because we've been talking about them all year and things aren't getting any better. I would argue they're getting worse.
Yeah.
I mean, Michigan State now sits alone in 13th place in the Big Ten after losing embarrassingly to Rutgers where they scored 37 points. 37 points in an entire game and then got beat by a good Ohio State team by 17. They're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
This team has major issues. I don't even think we can discuss the NCAA tournament at this point. I think that ship has sailed barring some miraculous turnaround where they start rattling off 7-8 wins in a row. And even then, I think they got work to do because their best win to date is Duke, and Duke is currently not in the field, according to any bracketologist. So, yeah, they've got major issues. The thing that I don't know about with them is I don't know how they fix them. Because if you look at this roster, they have one true senior, that's Josh Langford. So he's gone unless he takes a COVID year and comes back for like his ninth year in college. But you do still have to be enrolled in school. And I think he would have like 3 master's degrees at this point. He's been there so long. So, I mean, you have Aaron Henry, who's a junior, but he toyed with the NBA draft last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if he hears anything even close to what he wants, you have to assume he's going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You have Rocket Watts, who's a sophomore, who it's very obvious that he is unhappy. You can watching the games, you can tell he does not like his role on this team. He wants to be the guy that everybody thought he was, with the shot chucker, the guy that just wants to go get it. And that's not how Tom Izzo coaches. You got a fast seat on the bench if that's how you play.
Yeah.
So you have to assume that he's probably gone. He'll take his chances at the NBA. So then you have guys coming back like Thomas Kithier, Joey Hauser, who's been in a massive disappointment at this point. Malik Hall, Marcus Bingham, Julius Marble, and Gabe Brown would be your experienced guys coming back. You have Mati Sissoko, and you have A.J. Hoggard as the freshmen who have played, but they're freshmen, and you can see it. So the question that I keep asking myself is, when and how is this going to get fixed? Because you're going to lose pretty much your two best all-around players, more than likely, in Henry and Rocket Watts. Now, that could, like, we could very well be wrong, and they could both come back. But, I mean, given how things are and the way they trended last year, you just tend to feel like they're not going to be. So, to me, it really leans on, you've got 3 guys committed to this team, and Max Christie, Jaden Akins, and Pierre Brooks. Are you basically banking on 3 true freshmen to come in and turn this around? Because if not, I think next year is going to be the exact same thing over again.
You know, it's funny, Jordan, because I actually watched some Michigan State basketball this past weekend, and there's a few things that kind of stand out to me, and it's one of them. I've seen a lot of a Michigan State team the past probably 2 to 3 years. The first is I've noticed this team is very much in love with shooting the 3 ball. Instead of getting the open look or the open layup or driving to the basket and trying to get a foul, they're very much wanting to kick out and shoot the 3 ball. And to me, that's something I've seen the past couple years. I mean, just watching it, the game Sunday, I mean, that was super apparent. I mean, you had Rocket Watts driving to the lane, I don't know how many times, and then he'd kick it out to Kithier or Foster Lawyer or somewhere like that to try to shoot the 3 ball. Now, I get you're down by, 14 points, and you're trying to make a comeback here, and 3 points are obviously the quickest way to do that. But also going for that 2 points and trying to just chip away at the lead that way is just as noble. And to me, that's what I've seen a lot lately. And I think, unfortunately, I mean, that's the way the game has become, is the size doesn't matter as much anymore. And it's just kicking it out and trying to hit as many threes as you can, thanks to Golden State.
Well, it's the analytics game. I mean, the analytics say that there's only 2 shots you should take, and that's from 3 or at the basket.
Yep, and that's what it's become. Tom Izzo, it's no secret. The dude is rough around the edges with his players. It's like he has no problem getting in their faces and telling them what's up. And in today's game, that it's different. It doesn't work like it did 10 years ago. It doesn't even work like it did 5 years ago. And it just, to me, And to me, it's starting to feel like maybe his players don't relate to that anymore.
I think it's kind of what you said, that the game doesn't relate to that anymore.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, players are different. I mean, there's more psychology to sports now. And I think you see examples of Izzo getting in his players' faces and just the reactions he has on the sideline. I don't think translates well, and I think that's part of the Rocket Watts problem. I really do. And say with Aaron Henry is that he has no problem giving those guys the what's up, and I don't think they they can relate to it and they handle it well. Now, that's not saying that other players can't or other teams don't, because, I mean, there's other coaches. You have Coach K, who in Roy Williams from UNC is very much kind of the same methodology. But to me, it's just really starting to feel like we might be seeing the end of a run for them as a Michigan State.
So I have a counter to that. Given everything that's happened this year with COVID, mm-hmm. I want to throw something at you here. Just maybe at the same point, it might help your point. It might also contradict your point. We'll see. So right now I'm looking at the net rankings for basketball, which for anybody that doesn't know, the net rankings are kind of the new tool that the NCAA comes up with for ranking teams. Right now, the net ranking, North Carolina sits at 48 in the net.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Syracuse, 51. Hang on, I'm scrolling here. I got to look for the next one that I'm looking for my title. Duke is 62.
Okay.
Ooh, there's two more I want, and I can't find them, but I'm getting there.
Kansas?
No, Kansas is higher than that.
Okay.
Michigan State is at 96.
Mm-hmm.
There's still one more. I cannot believe that I haven't found them yet. I might have passed them. I'm looking for Kentucky. I had to pass them. There's no way they're this far down. Either way, I don't know what it is. It's bad. So what do those five teams, North Carolina, Duke, Syracuse, Michigan State, and Kentucky, all have in common?
Old school coach.
They are, yes, they're an old school blue blood program that is built on discipline and doing things my way or the highway. So how do you get your teams, especially the Dukes and Kentuckys who rely so much on one and dones, how do you get them to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it comes from the preseason and being together and practice, and then beating the piss out of these really bad teams to grow and get better.
Mm-hmm.
What didn't we have this year? We didn't have those windows to practice. We didn't have the preseason schedule where you get 8 to 10 games in against really bad teams and get to beat the crap out of them. You got right into conference for all these teams. So it's a situation where, especially with a Duke and Kentucky, and really for Michigan State, if you think about it, Michigan State lost their two best players. They're two only players, because Winston and Tillman did so much. They lost both of them in a year where they didn't get the off season to prep and practice and grow as a team like they normally would.
Yeah.
So how much of this do we maybe just chalk up to a COVID year and everything's back to normal next year, where this, though, because right now it's tracking like those six teams will not make mm-hmm. the tournament.
You know, and it's, and we talked, and we've talked about this even with college football. It's unfortunate that this is a COVID year, because like you said, like a lot of these teams who do, you know, need the practice, need that camaraderie and all that stuff, like they've suffered. I mean, you saw it in, I think, the Big Ten football schedule this year. I think one team that's apparent with it was Michigan. They needed those tune-up games. They didn't get them. And we saw what happened. And I think you're onto something there with this COVID year. I mean, I think teams that are the old school, like hammer it out in practice and working together and growing that team environment, suffered. And I think you're onto something there.
Kentucky was at 74, I found
them. Okay.
So right now you have three teams that by the net would be in the field of 68, but if you get into all, once you, that doesn't take into consideration the auto bids from teams. So very easily, all three of those, like all six of these teams are not going to make the field. I mean, mm-hmm. it's looking more and more likely by the day.
Yeah.
So we'll see. There's major issues in East Lansing. They're not going to get fixed this year. If you ask me, it's let AJ Hoggard get used to playing, play him a lot. Get Madi Sissoko as many minutes as you can get him. Let him play a lot And you're building for next year at this point if you're Tom Izzo. Your streak is going to come to an end of 20-whatever straight seasons of making the tournament. That's gone. Mm-hmm. It's not happening. So build to the future. You have a good recruiting class coming in. You need to get at least 4 to 5 solid pieces that you can trust for next year to put with these three guys coming in that are very good.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. College basketball is getting fun. We need to get Michigan back in it and see if anybody can challenge Baylor and Gonzaga, because right now they look like two death machines that are ready to run into each other.
Yes, they do.
So, all right, we rambled for a while there. Do you got anything else, or should we get into the big news of the
week? Let's get into the news, man, the big news.
All right, we're going to take our first unpaid break of the episode, and we'll be right back. All right, everybody, we are back from our first, and I believe probably, more than likely, our only unpaid break of the night. So once again, if you want to sponsor us, hit us up. We could give your business a plug, whatever you want us to throw in here. You kick us a little bit of cheddar cheese, and we'll throw you a little plug in here.
So, I like it. I like it.
Sorry, I got a little loopy there. Been a long day.
I forgive.
So we are going to get into the big news of the week. Matthew Stafford has been traded from the Detroit Lions to the Los Angeles Rams. It is Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, yep, it's LA, yep.
Okay, those teams change out there so much, I can't keep track. So they traded to the Rams for, what was it, Jared Goff, 2 firsts and a 3rd, is that correct?
Yes, yep.
Okay, so we kind of talked about it a little bit last week, but I think it happened faster than I anticipated, honestly. And it sounds like they had a lot of suitors, a lot of callers on this. I mean, it's also some in-division callers, if I read that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, Lane, why don't you give us your take on this, and we'll just have a little back and forth here for a few minutes.
Okay. So like Jordan said, it would have been Saturday night late. The news broke that Matt Stafford, or actually the Detroit Lions and Matthew Stafford, had agreed to a trade. And that trade, like Jordan said, was Jared Goff, 2 firsts and a 3rd. So now for the Lions, you're looking at 5 first-round draft picks in 3 years, which for a rebuilding franchise, that is incredible. I think looking it over, I feel like the trade itself was decently fair. The Lions got 7 years younger at the position. The Rams got one of the most underrated players in the league, who can lead their offense to new heights. People, I mean, on both sides of the aisles, at first, when I saw it, I was like, shit. You know, I didn't really want Jared Goff, and I'm still not a huge Jared Goff fan. I mean, when you look at side-by-side comparisons, one thing that is becoming very apparent is, if you've watched the Lions, if you watch Matthew Stafford, that dude can chuck the ball downfield. Jared Goff cannot. and I mean, that's putting it nicely. Statistically, over the past, you know, 5 years, they've been decently close. But keep in mind, you know, during those 5 years, you know, 3 of which were in the Matt Patricia era, when Matthew Stafford had to put the entire team on his back. So those stats could be a little skewed. Also keep in mind that Jared Goff's stats were on a team where I think it was like 2 out of the past 3 years have been the league's best defense. So that does miracles for you. Matthew Stafford going to the Rams has never had a number 8 ranked defense higher than 12 his entire career. So now he's going into LA with Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. We're going to see what Matt Stafford's all about. And I think you're going to be, I would have to say the Rams are a Super Bowl favorite next season. In my opinion. I don't know if you share that same thought, Jordan. As for the Lions, you got Jared Goff, like I said, 26 years old. Was at in a Super Bowl 2 years ago, has playoff experience, has big game experience, has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, which I like. We've been talking kind of about a bridge quarterback. He's an expensive bridge quarterback.
That's an understatement.
But his contract can be cut after next season. So if it doesn't work out, Lions can let Jared Goff walk and it won't hurt him. So, I mean, for Brad Holmes, I think this was an absolute home run. You know, some people are saying, yeah, the Lions fleeced the Rams, and then the Rams are saying, oh, the Rams fleeced the Lions. To me, this was very much an NBA-type trade where one team had the superstar, the other team had one guy who was decent, but not the best in the world, and has a shitty contract. The Rams basically said, all right, take Jared Goff. We'll give you two first-round picks and a third to take on this contract so we can help you help us. So that's kind of what that looks like to me. The question now becomes, where do the Lions go in the draft now? There's a lot of discussion, and it's a lot of people are torn. And I know, Jordan, you and I have had pretty long discussion and where the Lions need to go at seven or should go at seven. Like I said last week, technically the Lions don't have to go quarterback this year. I think if you have somebody like Trey Lance sitting there, I think you need to definitely think about it pretty hard. Like we said it before, like if somebody like Trey Lance is drafted by the Lions, I don't want him to see the field this season. And at this point, maybe not even next season. I want him to sit and learn the game. But at the same time, you look at where they're at in seven, I fully anticipate a quarterback run at picks 1 through 4. If I had to predict, I'm thinking you're going to see Trevor Lawrence. I think you see the Jets trade for Deshaun, so the Rams get Wilson. I think you see the Panthers trade up to Miami to pick up Justin Fields, and then I think you see Trey Lance go 4 to Atlanta. That's my opinion. Could be entirely wrong. It's going to be a different year because there is no combine, so we're going off pro days and game experience, which, by the way, some of the players in the top 10 didn't even play this year. So
right,
Micah Parsons, Trey Lance is another one. So it's going to be interesting. I think if you're the Lions, I would much rather prefer them take like a Jalen Waddle or Micah Parsons or somebody like that at 7 to get Goff a playmaker early. I Micah Parsons, based on talent, is absolutely a top 5 pick, but based upon off the field issues, I wouldn't touch him with a 30-foot pole. But that's me. So I don't know. I think the Lions are nailing this rebuild, and I think Dan Campbell said it best when he came out and said, you know, it's not going to be a 1 year turnaround. Like, it's going to take a couple of years. Be patient with us. Now, that's not saying that Jared Goff comes in this year and just absolutely balls out and dominate. I mean, that he's a NFC championship winning quarterback, so he has a pedigree there. The drop-off will be noticeable, but he's already the second best quarterback in the NFC North. And we were in the same situation last year with Matthew Stafford being the second best quarterback in the NFC North. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'm very excited to see what Stafford can do in LA. I'm excited to see what Goff can do in Detroit because he's got a chip on his shoulder. He already said he's excited to be a part of an organization that wants him there. Cause it sounds every bit like the Sean McVay, Jared Goff relationship was extremely frayed towards the end. McVay wanted to be able to throw downfield, and Goff is very timid about doing it, and he's decently turnover prone. So it's going to be interesting. I'm optimistic for this Lions team next year. I like the youth movement that's happening in Detroit. I mean, just based upon the coaching staff and the front office, I feel like the sky's the limit right now. If you can keep all those pieces in place in couple, I mean, 1 to 2 years, maybe three, watch out, because this Lions team could be nasty with all this draft capital we're picking up.
Sure, yeah. So I think my biggest takeaway is that from it is congratulations to Matthew Stafford, because dude deserves a shot to win, because he's done nothing but get his ass kicked for, what, 11 years in Detroit? And he deserves a shot. So, I mean, it is what it is there. That's the real winner in this deal is him. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's close. I don't think – I mean, the Lions get a good haul out of the deal for sure, better than what I thought they would given the Lions' history and everything. But they get a good haul. The Rams look good because they get a guy for a couple years that – can come in and potentially get them to a Super Bowl. They cut a lot of cap space, like you mentioned. So, I mean, I really think that both sides kind of win in this in different ways. But at the end of the day, I do think the biggest winner is Matthew Stafford. Now, the draft situation that you kind of brought up, and I know we have a little bit of differing opinions here on this, because I mentioned earlier about how much I'm into recruiting and kind of looking at the future and what recruiting means for the draft and what players are coming in the future and blah, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, this draft class is extremely loaded with quarterbacks, at least top end wise, when you talk about Fields, Lawrence, and Trey Lance. I'm a Trey Lance believer. I like Trey Lance. I think he's the real deal. I think he's going to be good. Actually, I think he's going to be elite, personally. But so to me, if he's sitting there at 7, I think you have to take him. Because then you can let him sit for 2 years behind Goff. You just eat that money and just keep building and use the rest of your draft capital. And get all your other pieces around. So in 2 years, 3 years, then Lance is ready to go. You have all the pieces around and you're ready to plug him in and go. My opinion. Now, the other reason I say that is because of the future. So if you look at this draft class, we talked about Lawrence, Fields, Lance, the best three. Mac Jones has talked about he's really helped his draft stock. And then there's a few others down the board, Jamie Newman. Ian Book, I guess, has really helped his draft stock here in the last, whatever that Senior Bowl was or whatever that he played in. So guys like that have helped their stock a little bit. But whatever. Look at the future. So next year's class looks atrocious for quarterbacks. Like, I'm looking then back in the rankings. The only two names I see that could potentially be coming out that could have any NFL caliber to them at all is JT Daniels, who's now at Georgia and been hurt his entire career. So we don't even truly know what he is. Or Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma, who has shown signs of being great, but has also shown signs of being a head case. He's had off the field issues in high school and now at Oklahoma too. Nothing major, but just little things. Getting benched in a couple games. Those could be young things, but whatever. Those are really the only two next year. Those aren't franchise guys. Those aren't guys you take in the first round. Those are second, third round guys that maybe work their way into a starting job one day. So then you go to the 2023 draft. We're in 21, right? Yeah, so that class has got two guys that are pretty good. Bryce Young and DJ Uiagalelei from Alabama and Clemson, respectively. Now, they don't even necessarily have to come out at that point. That's just when they're eligible to. So Bryce Young potentially could be elite. We don't know yet. He hasn't played. He sat behind Mac Jones. He's a true freshman this year. So he's got this coming season and the next season. We'll find out. DJU, we saw a little taste of this year for Clemson when Trevor had COVID at Notre Dame, and he threw. All he did was go throw for 400 yards.
Only 400 yards.
Yeah, so the dude has the potential, and when he gets the reps at Clemson and the experience, he'll be a good talent. But then behind them, it's all question marks. We just don't know. There's no other big names there. And then you get any further than that, and it's just too hard to project. I mean, the 24 draft class has five guys who potentially could be good, but they haven't even got on campus yet. We have no way of knowing. I say all of that to roll back to the point of, if Trey Lance is sitting there at 7, then you absolutely have to take him. Because if you don't, you might not get your future quarterback until 2024.
It's fair.
I mean, you have to look at the future. There's nothing there. Unless you plan on being at 1 in 23 and taking Bryce Young and hoping that he's the thing. But there's just nobody there. I mean, to me, it's maddening if you don't. And I'm not a Justin Fields believer in the NFL. I think he's an excellent college quarterback, just like all of the other Ohio State quarterbacks have been. But I just don't think what he is good at translates to the NFL. He struggles to read defenses. He's always held the ball too long. I don't see it with Fields. I could be wrong. Maybe it's just because he's a Buckeye and I hate him so much, but I try to be realistic when I'm looking at these things, and I just don't see it with him, man. I really don't.
That's fair. No, that's fair. I'm in the same camp as you with Fields. I'm not overly sold on him in big games outside of the Clemson game this season. He disappears. Interesting enough, though, talking about the draft, I don't know if you're aware of this, which this sounds like this trade was minutes from happening. LA swooped in. And that was trading Stafford to the Carolina Panthers. It sounds like
was that the one that was for the
eighth pick? Yeah, for the eighth pick. Now that
so they'd have
back. They'd have had 7 and 8. Now to me, that pick, the 7 and 8, you could have made a push for Trevor Lawrence at 1. I don't think they take it, but you could have made that push. Now, don't get me wrong. I still think the trade that the Lions got is the best deal they could have gotten. But that's a hard offer to walk away from, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I agree. It would have definitely given you something to think mm-hmm. about.
So, I mean, long story short, I mean, we wish, you know, Matthew the best of luck. I'm interested to see how he does. I'm not trying to say anything negative about him, but now there are no excuses for him either. You have a looking to be almost elite running back in Cam Akers. Cause I'll throw that out there. I think at the end of the season, he was phenomenal. You have some really good pass catchers in Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, and we already know what that defense is. So, I mean, yep. For me, as the pick side of things, I want to see the Rams fail so that we can get the best friggin' pick we can get. But for him, I mean, there are no more excuses for Matthew Stafford. And in all reality, there's no more excuses for – I mean, there's – it's going to be interesting for Jared Goff too. I'm already ready for the Super Bowl to get over with. I'm ready to get to OTAs. I'm ready to see what we do in the draft. I'm ready for all of it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see for sure where they go with this draft, because I mean, everybody thinks that they know it all and everything, but I don't know. We're going to find out, I guess. Mm-hmm. Time will tell. But speaking of the Super Bowl, let's talk about some Super
Bowl. Oh, yeah. Bowl, did you know that? That was this weekend?
I hear things. But so, well, you got the GOAT. You got the Chiefs. I mean, you know where my heart lies. I'm rolling with TB12. I mean, you got to love the guy. He is the greatest of all time, after all. So give me your thoughts on this game. What do you think? Where are you feeling? Where are you leaning?
So,
what do you got?
It's interesting because I haven't said this to a bunch of people, and this might be crazy talk, but I think the keys to Tampa Bay's defense is stopping the best player on the field offensively for Kansas City. And that person is not Patrick Mahomes. That's not Tyreek Hill. It's Travis Kelce.
Yeah, that would have been my next
Travis Kelce presents an absolute matchup nightmare. He's as fast as a wide receiver, but he's 6 foot, I think, six. So he's frigging huge. Linebackers are going to struggle to cover him. It's going to be very interesting to see what that linebacking core can do against Travis Kelce. I think Tyreek Hill, if you let him get open in space, I mean, the cheetah, game over. Mahomes is just going to lob it to him all game long, and he's gonna get 200 receiving yards and probably walk away with an MVP. I think, to me, it's such an interesting matchup because Tampa Bay is loaded offensively. Between Mike Evans is a matchup nightmare. Chris Godwin is an interesting slot player. And then you got Antonio Brown, who is still looks very good for his age and how long he's been out. And then he's still got the man Gronk as a red zone threat. Defensively, I like Tampa a lot. I think their secondary is young. They're nasty. That linebacking core with Devin White has been absolutely incredible. But then on the flip side of it, it's tit for tat with Kansas City. They've got great wide receivers. Now, the only thing that I have seen is there's some COVID protocol happening for Kansas City now. There's a couple players out. I mean, they're not big names, but you're starting to see some names have to sit out because of close contact. So whether or not that plays into Super Bowl Sunday, we might not ever know, in all honesty. And the Kansas City's defense at the same time has really stepped up in the playoffs, and they look pretty damn good. So I'm with you, man. I want to see the GOAT win one, another one. And in all honesty, I want to see him just win one and then ride out and just say, hey, look, I didn't need New England. They needed me. And I just did something that's extremely difficult for any athlete to do. If I had to take a guess of score, I'm going to take a shootout, and I'm going to take Bucks 35, Kansas City 31.
No, I like it. I think everything you said, I agree with. I think, to me, at the end of the day, Brady's won so many for some reason, and he just finds a way. He's just got a reason that he just keeps winning, and I'm not going off of that. So I'll take the Bucks, 42-38.
I like it. See, now I want an exciting Super Bowl. Like, I want high scores.
Oh, it's going to be. I don't think you have to worry about that. I think it's going to be
Now, the question is, if at the over.
Bet the over.
The question I have for you is, if Brady wins another one and he officially – yeah, that's what I was saying. Is he done? I would, too.
I would, too. You have officially – if he wins this, he officially puts to bed anything, any argument anybody has about another quarterback. He shows that it's not all Belichick that did it. I mean, what more would he have to prove? Now, he does say that he's got a couple more years in him, but, I mean, the University of Michigan is looking for a quarterback's coach. Just saying. He could come on up and just hang out, wear the wing, the maize and blue the rest of his career.
That'd be a dream situation for you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'll never happen, but hey, why not?
Amen, brother. Dream, right?
But yeah, I think you would. Yeah. I mean, I don't see why not. What do you,
yeah, exactly. You and that point? Would just leave another team looking for another quarterback. Kind of interesting to that.
But then again, at the same time, I mean, he's got it pretty good.
Yeah.
So why? Well, I guess why? Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting that dynamic between him and Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich. Like, at the beginning of the season, like, it seemed like Bruce Arians was like, screw Tom Brady. Like, I'm the coach. You're going to do what I want to do. And then something shifted. Like, Bruce Arians is like, I'm just going to let him coach the offense and do what he needs to do. And look where they're at now. So,
Well, everybody that you ever talk to, whether they're Michigan fan or not, they say Tom Brady's a great dude. He's a team guy all the way. So, I mean, he probably just draws people in. I mean, look how many guys flocked to Tampa because they wanted to play with him. So, we'll see. I do think it'll be a good game. The big key to me is, can Tampa slow down Kansas City enough? Because it's going to take 40 points to win the game. So, can Tampa's D slow down, like you said, Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Mahomes and all the weapons, can they slow them down enough to keep them in the 30s to win the game? That's the big question mark to me. I think they can, no doubt. But it's gonna be a high score.
I know, and I'm excited for it, man.
Yep. Me too. So, you got anything else? Did we miss anything? I don't think we did. I'm looking at.
No, I think we're. I think we're pretty much ready to close this puppy down.
Okay, so we'll have the Super Bowl recap next week when we come back. Hopefully, we'll have good news that Michigan will be back ready to play. Maybe the Spartans can pull the shocker tonight against Iowa. I bet against it, but you know. I will say that Michigan State's shortcomings came at a great time because I'm profiting off of them of online gambling.
Jordan, you're going to be you're investing in GameStop now, are you?
No, I don't play in the stock market. I'm not smart enough for that. So, all right, everybody, before we get going too far down another rabbit hole, we don't need to. Let's shut this thing down. So, thank you for coming back and listening to us. We really do appreciate it. Whether there's 5 of you or 100 of you, it doesn't matter. We like to hear, or we like to see that you guys are listening. We will hope that what we're saying has some impact and maybe brings a little bit of enjoyment to your day, because that's our goal. We like talking about sports, and obviously you like listening to it. And if you don't like our opinions, why don't you get on our social media and tell us about it? Get on our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and tell us you think we're stupid. That'd be fine, too. We're okay with it. But yeah, Spartans, Wolverines, Beards, all the social media platforms, hit that subscribe button, hit that 5-star review on whatever device you're listening to, and, check out the Watershed Voice also, you know, great local resource for everything you need in your life. So Lane, anything I missed there?
I think you nailed that. I think you nailed that close, man. I think you nailed it.
Yeah, that was pretty smooth. Much flying by the seat of my pants, which is what 99%
of what this podcast is. A lot of one-off emotion and just thought, and I like it. It's genuine. So
that's right. All right, everybody. Well, we'll close her down. We'll be back next week, and we will have a Super Bowl champion.
Go so green.
Until then, go blue. Taking that time.